Take your Bibles. Let's go to Mark chapter 4 tonight. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and in verse 29. Mark 4:29, the Bible says, "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for the privilege of being here tonight. Lord, we thank you for the Word of God, Lord, and the many truths that you have in there. Help us to be willing to listen to your Word tonight, Lord, and apply it to our lives. Lord, help us to, this year, want to walk closer to you than we did this past year. Lord, we ask that you'd use each one of us to bring honor and glory to your name, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. "But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." Right about in the middle of that verse, the word is immediately. In other words, there's an urgency. Something has to happen now. It's not something that can be put off. We'll do it later. The Bible says that it needs to be done now, immediately. When you hear the cry for help, what do you think? "Oh, well, I'll be there in an hour." No. Automatically, you want to go do something. You want to go help that individual because you realize the urgency. The word means requiring immediate action. Why the urgency? Because the harvest. The harvest is ready. In Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20, the Bible says, "The harvest is past. The summer has ended and we are not saved." There's a harvest time. And the Bible says it's now. The fields are ready. Proverbs 10 and verse 5. Let's flip over there. Proverbs 10 and verse 5. Proverbs 10 and verse 5. The Bible says, "He that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame." I grew up on a farm, as you saw on the DVD, and as I mentioned, and that's yet today, when it's spring and when it's fall time, there's something in me that just kicks in that I've got to get on a tractor, I've got to go to the field, I've got to do something. It's just, it's in me. I can't get it out of me. And my wife always knows what time of season is by the way I'm acting around the house. And unfortunately, there's a farmer that's like 10 minutes from my house. And he said, "Phil," he says, "the key's always in the tractor." He says, "You need to drive it." He says, "Go ahead." He says, "I can use any help that you can give." And I appreciate that. But growing up on the farm, we realize the urgency of when it's time to harvest, when it's time to plant. Because the time is limited. It can only be done in a certain time. Many of you grow maybe tomatoes or green beans or things like that in your garden, and they're only good for so many days. And then they get old, or they begin to rot, they begin to mold. They have to be harvested in a certain amount of time. We used to grow acres of alfalfa for the cattle. And years ago, when I was younger, we always waited till the whole field was all in blossom, thinking that was the best time to harvest the hay. But as technology started to change, we had a nutritionist that would come to the farm, and he'd say, "Guys, we've been doing it all wrong for years." He said, "As soon as you see that first blossom in the field, you need to be get out there and cutting the hay down." And we're like, why then? He said, "Because all the nutrients are going to that blossom." He said, "The rest of the stalk is basically useless. It's just roughage." And we didn't understand, because the cows would just kind of chew it. They didn't really care to eat it, but they wanted something to eat, so they'd always eat the hay. But when we switched and changed and started cutting the hay when it was just coming into blossom, they started to consume more and more and more, because there was still flavor in the stalks. There was a limited time that we had, and it's a matter of just a few days before the whole field goes to bloom. So we had to get on it right away. Also, when you grow sweet corn, you realize that you've only got a few days. Either if you don't get it, the raccoon's going to get it. It's only a matter of a few days, and then it gets old and chewy, and it's not as good as it once was. And you know, in people's lives, people are not going to get saved the first time that you witness to them. It might be a tragedy that's happened in their life, and it's only going to be a short time that their spirit's going to be receptive to the Word of God. Don't miss that opportunity. Be sensitive to the things that are going on around you. People won't get saved the first time, but if we continue to witness to them, if we continue to invite them in church, they will get saved. Continue to pray for them. Pastor Wall was just telling us about a man that he knew that prayed for his brother for 18 years that just got saved the other day. Sad thing was that his brother that had been doing the praying passed away a month before he got saved. So he didn't get to, on this earth, didn't get to see his brother get saved. But yet, don't know, maybe it was his brother's death that, you know, made him realize, hey, life is short. Time is limited. We have to be conscious of that. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Why the urgency? Because the harvest is ready. And secondly, our time is limited. In John chapter 4 and verse 35, the Bible says, "Say ye not that there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look unto the fields, for they are white already to harvest." We always think that we have another day. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll get to that eventually. We had a neighbor lady, Mrs. Hanko, that lived directly across the road from us. She was a widow. She lived there for, well, we've been there 20 years now. She lived there for 19 years before she had moved into assisted living. And we've gone to see her since she's been there. And from time to time, my wife would and I would go over and witness to Mrs. Hanko. She was a Catholic and said, "Well, I believe in Jesus, but I believe in Mary also." She wouldn't put her trust in Jesus Christ alone. But we always left the door open to go back again and again and again. It was just a little bit over a month ago. We were going to go the following Monday to see Mrs. Hankel. We'd already had it set up. We had it on our schedule. We were going to go witness to her one more time. That Saturday, just before the next coming Monday, her son called and said, "Mom just passed away. I just wanted to let you guys know." And you know what? Every day since then, the Lord's reminded me of that. I don't have another day. Her life has passed. I don't know that she was saved. And it's a daily reminder. Time is short. We cannot regain yesterday. Tomorrow never comes. All we truly have is today. I myself have said, "Well, I'll do that tomorrow. I'll get to that eventually. I'll stop by that neighbor's house and see him." See, God's place is exactly where He wants us. I won't meet your neighbor probably, but they see you every day. They watch you. I remember when we moved into our neighborhood, I had not met a soul. Never introduced myself. My wife had made some cookies. We were going down the street giving them to people, introducing ourselves, and as we're going to neighbor, they already knew where we worked and what we did. And it's like, "Oh, okay." I have no idea how they found out about us. Maybe they did a research. I honestly have no idea. But they watch us. They know what time we go to church. They know what time we get home. They know the way we talk. And honestly, they know if we're concerned about their souls. They really do. They say, why don't he share with me what he shared with the other neighbor? We have a responsibility. We have a limited time. What are we doing with the time that has been given to us? Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. In a lifetime, the average North American will spend 6 months sitting at stoplights, 8 months opening junk mail, 1 year looking for lost objects, 2 years unsuccessfully returning phone calls, 5 years waiting in line, 6 years eating, 21 years watching television or on the computer. Our lives, happy or unhappy, positive or negative, will eventually be reduced to a tiny little dash between two dates, the date that we were born and the date that we die. And it's really, it's up to us what happens in that little dash, what it contains. See, God doesn't make us do right. God's given us a free will to choose each and every day what we do with our time. How many of you are in your 30s? Kev? There was once an article published that said, if you are 35, you have about 500 days to live. The article went on to say that there's more to it. The article went on to say that when you subtract the time that you spend sleeping, working, tending to personal matters, eating, traveling, doing chores, attending to personal hygiene, and adding in the miscellaneous time stealers, in the next 36 years, you'll have about 500 days that you'll be able to spend as you wish. Think about how much time, when all of the necessary things are done, and how much time is left. According to the 2010 World Population Data Sheet, approximately 4.5 people are born each second. 1.8 or almost 2 people die every second. As we read in James chapter 4, life is a vapor. It appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. 2 people just died. 2 people just died. 2 people just died. 2 more people just died. 2 more people just died. I can go on and go on and go on. I'm just trying to help us realize that life is short. Time is limited. 108 people die every minute. 6,500 people die every hour. 150,000 people die every day. Nearly 55 million people die every year. That's the entire country of Canada. The state of Michigan, Rhode Island, New York, and Maine would be totally wiped out within 1 year. And as I was looking that up, I thought, wow, that brings it right down to home for me. That's where I live. 1 year, our whole country could be vanished, totally gone. Do I care? Does it make a difference to me when I realize that my neighbors all could be gone within minutes? Do we really care, folks? A poet put it this way, just a tiny little minute, only 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. Why the urgency? The harvest is ready. Why the urgency? Because time is limited. And why the urgency? Because laborers are few. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, the Bible says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I found these statistics a few months ago. In 1950, there were 100,000 missionaries. Today, there are approximately 29,000 missionaries. There's only about 5,000 independent missionaries. 75% of missionaries return home from the foreign field within the first 3 years. 43% never finish deputation. Since 1950, we've lost over 1,000 missionaries every year. And there's only 50 who take their place of that 1,000. Folks, we're running out of laborers. Time is short. Laborers are few. We need to stop thinking somebody else will do it. We're all commanded to go. The Bible says, "Go ye." That includes every one of us. I can't. No, truth is, I won't. Because all of us can. We can all do something. We can all hand out a tract. We can make a phone call. We can all do something. It may not be across an ocean or around the world, but we can go next door to our neighbor. We can walk across the floor to the person that we're working next to. We all can be laboring together to bring our world to Christ. Imagine that a bank credits your account each morning with $86,400. Somebody want to have that bank? No balance is carried over from day to day, but it's deleted each evening. What would you do when you knew that you were not going to use up your daily balance? I think every one of us would use as much time as we could trying to use all that money up. We'd be foolish not to. We have a bank like that. It's called time. Every morning, we have 86,400 seconds. Every day, we're credited with a new 86,400 seconds. Every night, that which we have not used is subtracted from our account. Our time bank allows no overdraft. There's no going back for a second chance. Our time bank does not allow borrowing from day to day. And of course, there are no leftover or rollover minutes. The clock ticks away, never waiting for anyone to catch up. Wouldn't it be wise for us to use every precious minute of every day before it's too late? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 remind us of this. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Why the urgency? Because the harvest is ready. Why the urgency? Because time is limited. Why the urgency? Because the laborers are few. I stand here before you tonight encouraging you to use every minute of every day. Don't put it off. If the Lord's laid someone on your heart, don't put it off. I have a regret not going and seeing my neighbor one more time. And I honestly believe the Lord reminds me of that every day. Just as a reminder, time is short. What am I doing with the time that God's given to me? It reminds me of a statement that my father made to me when we surrendered to go with the claim ministry. I explained what we were going to do, and Dad said to me, Philip, he says, I've never said this to any of my children, but he says, that's what Mom and I were going to do when we retired. My dad will be 92 years old in April the 2nd. Dad said one of the greatest regrets, he says, I never went on one trip because I was always going to do it tomorrow. He calls me, not every month, but almost every month, to see how my projects are going. And just say, Philip, I'm praying for you. Wish I could go with you. We all understand we're not as young as we used to be. And when we're young, we think, well, I've got a whole lifetime ahead of me. I can remember when my father was 55. And now he's almost 92. And it seems like it was just yesterday. Don't put it off. Let's not waste our time. Let's use it for the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for, Lord, again, your word. Lord, the truths that are within it. I thank you for helping us realize, Lord, the urgency that is placed before us. Lord, as Scripture says, that immediately the sickle was put in because the harvest was ready. Lord, as we look around us, we see folks coming and going every day. We meet people almost on a daily basis. Lord, help us to see their need. Help us to be concerned about their eternal soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. Lord, help us to be concerned, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.